Well, no one sings it better than Etta. You're listening to The Good Life here on Sunday afternoon with me, Georgina Windsor. Now, I asked you earlier how wild you were about gardening. Tanya Pascoe is a passionate gardener, sustainability consultant and author of Wild Garden Weekends. She set out on a journey across Britain to visit some of the most enchanting wild spaces and has compiled a book of nearly 400 wild spaces to visit. And she joins me now to tell us more. Good afternoon to you, Tanya.
Hello, good afternoon.
Thank you so much for joining us. Wow, what an undertaking.
Yeah, thank you.
And the photographs are absolutely stunningly beautiful, and they really do take you to those places. They just make you want to journey there. Where does your inspiration come from, Tanya?
I think I grew up in Somerset and had a really idyllic childhood, thankfully, and really remember that whole kind of hazy summer day of running through meadows, you know, golden backlit grasslands, catching crickets, butterflies, or, you know, kind of lying with soggy sleeves and hands in icy cold ponds, you know, catching newts and frogs and things. And my inspiration is now I've got a 3-year-old daughter, and I want her to have those memories, I suppose.
And that, it's interesting that you mention your little one, because even the front of the book says explore the secret garden. Sorry, no, it was the inside cover that it really sang to me, I think, because it says Wild Garden Weekends reveals Britain's most exciting wild gardens, beautiful spaces in which to explore and play. And it was the play that got me, because I'm used to seeing books that say come and celebrate these gardens, come and see them, but just using the idea of playfulness, yeah, really, I've thought, oh, this is just wonderful. This is a real active book, you know. It's get out there, explore it, play in it. Children are welcome in it. It really feels like a multi-generational experience that you've gone for.
Absolutely, and that's what garden visiting, I think, should be. It should be something for the whole family. And, you know, I love visiting gardens, but dragging, you know, my child and other children around, you know, there has to be something in it for them. And if they're going to develop a love for nature, which I think is essential if we're going to, be able to look after our planet and care for things and fight for our nature reserves and things, then they have to really have fun playing in them. And also, I want to play. My mother wants to go out and have fun and be able to explore and to feel, I suppose, that wonderment of being a child again, almost a bit Alice in Wonderland-y, of feeling that you are in some part, you know, exploring, whether it's a garden or a woodland full of bluebells or whatever it is.
Yes, and we've just been speaking to David Standing, the head gardener at Selborne, at Gilbert White's house,
yeah,
and that's one of the ones that you featured, and that's a very playful garden.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you've got this Gilbert's Great Mead, so that's that wonderful wildflower meadow, a traditional hay meadow that rolls out from the garden up to the lovely beech hanger woods. And it's a huge, wonderful path that goes through this grassland that is filled with crickets. So as you step, you know, they're jumping from you. My daughter just took her shoes off and started running through it. And then in the middle, you've got this wonderful little lump with a seat that revolves around, and you just feel like you're able to interact. And I think that's really important, rather than just being, you know, please stay off the grass and please stand here and don't touch the flowers, all that kind of thing. We have to, if we're going to fall in love with places and gardens and plants and nature, then we have to feel that we are in some way connected to it.
Yes, and in fact, I lost my children in those that little tiny seat. I couldn't get them out of it. They were so excited. It turns them into a bit of a photographer, actually, because you end up with this amazing vista, don't you?
Yes.
And you kind of just see things in different ways. It was a fascinating place. But 400, how long did it take you to do this?
All in all, I think it's taken me 5 years of, you know, first of all, it was almost unconscious, you know, going around visiting gardens, and we love going for walks in nature. My husband and I have a small publishing company where it's very much about wild places and getting people out into nature. So that side of it was, you know, was happening. But the gardening side of it, it was, my passion is gardening and I love it. And it just happened more and more that I was going to these places. And then I read in 2012, I think, it was Plant Life's report called Our Vanishing Flora, and it said that 97% of our native grasslands and these traditional hay meadows that I remember from my childhood have disappeared since the 30s. And so that means that we've got only 3% of these places left, and that really shocked me. And then, I'm a sustainability consultant by profession, and then I read the World Wildlife Fund's Living Planet report in 2014, and it stated that 52% of the world's biodiversity has been lost since the 1970s. So that's in my lifetime. And I really changed the way I was gardening, and it really kind of set me, I consciously then decided, like, I want to go out and I want to chart these places. I want to see where they are. And I set off on a really big mission and created the world's largest Excel spreadsheet, I think, and spoke to reserve managers and National Trust rangers and gardeners, who then told me I must speak to so-and-so, and it just developed that way. And we have a camper van, and we travelled across the whole of the UK. It's taken, I think, 5 years in total to...
So how does it feel to hold this in your hands, then?
Oh, it feels wonderful. And, you know, the feedback has just been so great. And these are all incredibly special places that are cared for by incredibly passionate people who want to create, you know, beautiful places, but also places that are abundant and rich with, you know, our wonderful wildlife. The 60% of all British species are in decline. And we've got to do something differently. You know, our gardens, there's like 16 million gardens in Britain, and each one of them has the potential to become its own little Gilbert White's house, you know, nature reserve. We can do things differently and really create something quite special, I think.
We're a funny bunch, though, because we like to get out there, but when we get home, we do like to be at home and away from others. So the idea of these kind of nature corridors, which is, I'm sure, something that you would like to encourage. Mm. That's not the easiest thing sometimes for us to do in urban gardens and places where we want to have our own spaces. Or do you think there's more we can do?
I think that, you know, you can still have that sense of privacy, I think, and your own little Eden. You know, trees create wonderful boundaries, as do hedges, and they're also fantastic for the wildlife. And hedgehogs, you know, we've lost, I don't know, a third of them in the last 10 years. They're really in decline. We used to have, I don't know, 30 million, I think it was, in 1950, and now we've got 1.5 million of them left. And all they need is a little hole in your fence to be able to go through. So we're not asking you to, you know, open up everything to your neighbours. It's just having a little gap and, you know, plant more hedges, plant more trees, give yourself more privacy, and create even better habitat for the birds and the insects.
So it's National Gardening Week next week, and I'm hearing quite a lot going around in the media as well about rewilding.
Yeah.
Is that a term that is something that you embrace? What is it that you think you need us to do?
Most definitely. I mean, I think there is a real, you know, wild garden movement starting, and I think people want to, you know, create abundant places that are beautiful for themselves, as well as creating wonderful habitats for insects and things. And I think there's just a few, you know, really easy things that we can do. One, you know, buy peat-free compost. You know, our peat bogs are really important habitats. And yet half, I think, of all our compost that we buy still contains peat, so we must demand none of that. We must plant pollinator-friendly and nectar-rich plants in our garden that will look beautiful, but also will really encourage all those bees and hoverflies and butterflies. Let's use less pesticides, none if possible. Plant trees and hedges. A wildlife pond is a wonderful thing if you have, you know, and it doesn't have to be big. If you can make your own compost and mulch. And the other thing is, what's great, I think, about wilder gardens is they're less manicured, so you can leave, you know, some or all of your lawn longer, or just a little bit longer for longer, and that creates great habitats. And the other thing is to get out more, go and visit other places, and get out and visit your national reserves and local wildlife reserves, and support them, because, you know, it's all just one habitat, really, in the end of the day.
You know, Tanya, you couldn't probably have been a better advocate for our show. Everything you said is everything that we're about. So it's lovely to be celebrating it with you.
Oh,
congratulations
you.
On the book. You know, I could actually talk to you for ages, but unfortunately time constraints mean that I have to say au revoir. But good luck. I hope people take this to their heart. It's a beautiful, beautiful book. Wild
Thank
Garden
you.
Weekends. It's certainly engaging, and I hope it'll be enriching for those that go on the adventure that you've clearly had and clearly enjoyed.
Yeah, it's been wonderful, and there's lots of wonderful places in the book, yes, so I'd say, and now is such a wonderful time to start exploring and gardening.
Indeed. Thank you so much, Tanya, for being with us on The Good Life this afternoon.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. So, yes, the Wild Garden Weekends, exploring the secret gardens, wild meadows and kitchen garden cafes of Britain by Tanya Pascoe. And you'll find it in good bookshops now, and I'm sure on ubiquitous buying sites that you can online. But it is a beautiful book. It's one of those ones you'll dip into and be great on any coffee table, because you'll be more than likely to pick it up and have a look and get inspired. Right, shall we inspire you with a bit more? Yes, I think we should, Mrs. Windsor. I think we should. Here's Sam Fraser with her guide to Monday during the day. That'll be tomorrow then.
What's happening in the South?
BBC Radio Solent.